track three. And our first news story this week is, oh dear, what can the matter be? The CCTV has caused a storm in the lavatory. Controversial cameras aimed at tackling persistent issues of antisocial behaviour in Tynmouth's new toilets on the Den are to be removed. Councillors in Tynmouth have agreed to remove some of the controversial CCTV cameras in its new toilet block following public outrage. The decision to take out cameras from the accessible toilets is a partial climb down following the backlash against the cameras which were pointed to record inside cubicles unless the door was fully shut. Angry toilet users said the use was a breach of privacy and a safeguarding risk for children using the loos. The cameras stopped recording when the cubicle door closed, but parents and disabled users argued there were times when they had to keep the door open. Now, Tynmouth Town Council says, in response to feedback from the public, it has reconsidered. A spokesman said, in response, we have taken decisive action and removed the CCTV cameras from the accessible toilets to ensure the highest respect for individual privacy. As previously reported, the issue came to light after a mum of two took both her children to use the accessible toilets at the newly opened block on the Den and discovered, having left the door ajar, that the camera above was on. The council, which is spending £1.5 million upgrading the town's toilets, said the cameras were needed to tackle repeated vandalism, which has been costing the authority £10,000 a year in repairs. The new block on the Den has a total of 22 cameras, which many argue is excessive. Although some users agreed cameras could be needed to deter and identify vandals, there are continued concerns over who has access to any footage. However, it was not until the camera function was highlighted by the concerned mother that many were even aware that cameras were recording inside the cubicles. The revelation sparked fierce criticism, with many people insisting they were refused to use the new toilets, which cost 40 pence a time. The town council continued, while these cameras were never able to film inside stalls when doors were closed, we fully recognise and understand the concerns raised by members of our community. We are committed to balancing privacy with the need for safety. We have, however, retained cameras in the hallways. These play a pivotal role in tackling persistent issues of vandalism and drug use. Unfortunately, repeated incidents of this nature have previously forced us to close the toilets, costing the council thousands of pounds and leaving the public without essential facilities. These are real challenges we must address to keep our toilets open and safe for everyone. We want to reassure the community that all CCTV systems are carefully positioned to enhance safety while maintaining respect for personal privacy. Our aim is to provide a welcoming, secure environment for all users, and we will continue to review our approach in the light of ongoing feedback.
Anger over hospital redundancy offer. MPs in South Devon have called on the Health Secretary to act after the distressing news that Torbay Hospital is offering staff redundancy packages. The move has also led to the resignation of two high-profile local health campaigners from the hospital's Board of Governors. Susie Colley and Sally Allen-Gerard of the Torbay Heart Campaign said they no longer had confidence in local health bodies. The three Liberal Democrat MPs say the cost-cutting voluntary redundancy scheme launched this week by the Torbay and South Devon NHS Foundation Trust is incredibly concerning. The Trust says it faces serious financial pressures and is taking significant steps to deliver savings. It said the majority of its funding was spent on staffing and it needed to reduce costs further. the controversy comes against a backdrop of recent conflict over local healthcare provision. The Heart campaign was set up amid fears that emergency cardiac care services could be moved from Torbay to Exeter as part of a gradual downgrading of the Bay's medical facilities. Hundreds of local people attended a recent protest meeting, and a fighting fund has been launched to backroll a legal challenge. The Trust has shelved its controversial early proposals on cardiac care, but retains a five-year plan, which objectors fear will lead to the service being downgraded. A long-standing partnership with Torbay Council to deliver adult social care is also being broken up, which has led to calls for Health Secretary Wes Streeting to step in. Cuts running to tens of billions of pounds were being imposed across the country, it said, with limited democratic accountability. Torbay Hospital clearly needs greater financial assistance. Staff are consistently appreciated by patients as being absolutely outstanding, and this new pressure on them to leave their posts will be of great detriment to patient experience. This is especially distressing since the population served by Torbay Hospital is older and more vulnerable than the national average, and these challenges will only increase with time. In their statement, Mrs. Colley and Mrs. Alan Gerard said they had decided not to take up their governor's role with deep regret but absolute conviction. We accepted this position in good faith with a clear commitment to serve our community, they added. However, the recent announcement regarding a voluntary redundancy scheme fundamentally changes the landscape. It raises serious concerns about the long-term future of our local hospital services. We cannot align ourselves with decisions that appear to signal a continued downgrading of our hospital. The Trust told the BBC the decision to introduce a time-limited voluntary redundancy scheme had not been taken lightly. All applications will be carefully assessed to ensure patient safety and service delivery are not compromised, it said. There is no obligation for anyone to apply, and support is available to all staff.
Charity's new support service for parent carers. An Exminster charity has launched a new service for parents and carers of children with special educational needs, disability, long-term illness, or additional needs. West Bank Community Health and Care held the official launch event of Devon Parent Carers at its Healthy Living Centre in Exminster, attended by health and social care professionals and some of the people who have helped make the new support service possible. Intrepid community fundraisers John Powell and Andy Green together raised more than £4,000 to support Devon Parent Carers at West Bank. They gave a talk about the mountain of a challenge they undertook, hiking from Everest Base Camp to Island Peak, an ascent of more than 6,000 metres. Among the attendees was Matt Lowe, whose late husband, John Hatch, left a significant legacy to West Bank, which has also helped fund Devon Parent Carers at West Bank. West Bank's dedicated support will include peer support groups, skills workshops, a quarterly e-newsletter, self-help resources, and access to discounted short breaks. Face-to-face groups will meet monthly. The first of these is at West Bank's Coffee on the Corner Cafe in Exminster, where parent carers can meet and chat. West Bank's Head of Carer Services, Andy Hood, said, "Devon Parent Carers will help to fill the gap between lots of different pieces of legislation, helping to support those looking after under-18s with disabilities or additional needs. We've been very fortunate to have some great organisations and individuals donate to us and provide grants." John Hatch, a former West Bank employee who then volunteered for us for years, left a generous legacy in his will, which was very gratefully received. John Powell told the audience why he and his fellow fundraiser Andy Green had chosen West Bank to benefit from their fundraising. He said, I've been working in and around social health and care in Devon for many years, and I've watched at West Bank and seen some of their incredible, inspiring work. When he stopped working for West Bank, he volunteered as an ambassador for Devon carers because he understood the need to support unseen carers who can feel very isolated and alone. Sadly, John died of bowel cancer. This service really fits his ethos of helping and supporting people who are caring for others. He'd be thrilled.